Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I'm Kim Crumbly.
I'm Laura Rankhorn.
And together we are Counselor Accents.
Kim?
Laura, I am shaking. I am shaking. I have put a sign on my door that says recording. And when I told them that, I told them at the office who I was talking to today, and they said, you've made it up. They think I've made it up. I'm like, nope. You've seen the movie, I've got the star here on the podcast. So, Laura, this is exciting.
We are just beyond honored and excited. We have Amberly Snyder with us. And I would like to say, once again, I discovered her. So that's on me. But my little girl is obsessed with horses. And so we watch everything horse related. And so she is actually the one, she discovered you, really, because she found the movie Walk, Ride, Rodeo on Netflix, and we watched it, and we watch it pretty much every day. And there for a while, we were watching it multiple times. So I feel like we're best friends because I know so much about you. I've watched you so often. So I'm just so glad that you're here. And whenever I did a little research on you, I found that you have a school counseling degree. And so I called Kim and I was like, oh my goodness, you have to watch this movie. She's a school counselor. She's one of us.
Crazy how that all just turns out like that, doesn't it? That somehow just, I don't know, things just fall into place.
They do. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And let's start from there.
Okay, I'll just do kind of my story in a nutshell.
Right.
So I didn't come from a horse family. My dad was a Major League Baseball player. My mom was a cheerleader. She had a horse when she was younger, but she didn't get to compete. So when I came along, I'm the second of six kids. So we have a pretty big family. And when I came along, I had an interest in horses. My mom saw that and wanted to give me every opportunity to do it more than she didn't get to as a kid. So I started riding lessons at three. At seven, we moved to Utah from California. And I told my dad I would only move if he bought me a Palomino Barrel horse when we got there. So he did. And I started to compete in rodeo. We can fast forward through. I rodeoed through the junior rodeo days. I've been to high school. By my senior year of high school, I was a world all-around champion. And then, of course, my life completely changed. You know, we have this whole plan we think as a kid of what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And I thought I had that plan figured out until January of 2010. And I can just jump right into that if you really want me to.
Wow. You know, what a life. And you're so young. I mean, compared to Laura.
I knew that was coming.
To think about what you accomplished even through your high school and to know this story and to still see this smile on your face, it's amazing. So yes, tell us the next part of your life.
So 2010, I would say, was when my life really changed. I was on my way to Denver, Colorado for the stock show when I was involved in a rollover truck accident where I was ejected, hitting a fence post, breaking my back and injuring my spinal cord. So when I had asked doctors, what are the chances of me feeling or moving my legs again, they said slim to none, but more than none. So at 18, I had to start life over. I actually turned 19 in the hospital. Not really your ideal picture of what you're going to be doing at 19 years old, but I was able to, I guess, start over. One of the coolest parts of my journey, I think, through that was, well, the first one I want to say is the very first day of therapy, my nurse walked to my room, told me I needed to set some goals, and I told her, easy, walk, ride, rodeo. And I didn't know that those three words were going to shape so much of my life as we continued on.
I've got chills.
It's crazy. You know, when I look back to that moment and you think about things that you said or how you felt, and it's honestly crazy for that one, for those ones, that those three little words have shaped, honestly, so much of the life I currently live and even the journey I've been on since then. But 2 months after my accident, it was actually 2 months to the day, was when we had state FFA convention. So I was at that time serving as the Utah State FFA president. And you know, when I wrecked during my state officer year, I didn't know what that was going to look like for state convention, for my retiring address. I had actually written this entire going away speech, your retiring address, and you can write it on anything you want. I had written mine on overcoming obstacles. I had written that in December of 2009.
Wow.
So prior to my accident, I'd written this speech and then, of course, lived it. 2 months after my accident, I mean, I still live it, but to when I was able to wheel on that stage at convention and preside over that meeting. So crazy to me to kind of think about, I mean, I think about being a counselor and my counseling degree now, but honestly, I felt like there were so many things that shaped me into that. And that was one of those moments for sure, to have written this whole speech, thought I had overcoming obstacles figured out and what advice I would give, and then wrecked and had to live that speech in order to really not just tell, but show those kids that you really are the one that decides what you're capable of.
For a school counselor,
I haven't finished those out yet.
You just jalapeno popper away for our listeners. Jalapeno popper in a way right now. For a school counselor, your story is so inspiring, and it's such a lesson for our students who go through, you know, their own obstacles and their own adversities, and you know, to show so that they're. You know, there's a model out here, and that you can see that this has, her life is going on, even though there have been obstacles and continues to be obstacles. Her life is going on in a great, and she's doing great and wonderful things. That's so inspiring for us to have your story to share with others.
Well, thank you. I think that, you know, that's one of the pieces that helps me, is knowing that I'm serving a purpose. Obviously getting into a chair every day is not the most ideal scenario, and not one I would want upon anybody, wish upon anybody, but I am lucky that I get to have a purpose with it, and not everyone in a chair does. So I am pretty lucky in that aspect.
What made you go into school counseling? Was it the life change, or was that kind of always in the back of your mind to get a counseling degree?
You know, I feel like it kind of all unfolded. When I, one of the first meetings we had as a state FFA officer, my state advisor asked me what I wanted to be. You know, what was I going to, I took a year off of school to serve as that as state president. And anyway, one of our conversations, he said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, honestly, something in horses. I'm probably going to go into being an equine nutritionist. And he said, well, what about being an ag teacher? And I said, heck no. I do not want to deal with kids every day. I would probably rip them apart. I'm like, that is not in my realm. Well, fast forward to the end of the year. We had a conversation at the end of the year. I forgot about that first conversation. We come to the end of the year and I said, hey, his name was Buddy Daimler. I said, Daimler, I'm kind of thinking of going in to be an ag educator. I think that's what I want to do. And he laughed and reminded me of that first conversation. So I ended up getting my undergrad in agriculture education. Oh, and cool. While I was doing my internship, I really felt like what I loved the most was just the conversations with the kids. The conversations of how was life going and what do they want to do and how can we solve the problems that they're feeling in their life right then. And I felt like that was really when I felt like I was not only the most myself, but was able to allow them to be that same way. So after I had that, I thought, okay, well, how do I take this and really to do that every day versus being a teacher? And school counseling is what came to mind. So then I decided to further my education into school counseling.
That is perfect. I love that. And are you a school counselor right now? Or are you doing other big and wonderful things?
So then that was so crazy is, so I graduated my undergrad in 2015, which was the same year that I ran in the American. And I had already been being a speaker. I had started speaking as a keynote speaker. And after the American, that really took off. So I was speaking through my entire schooling as becoming a counselor. And I could just tell that career was going to blossom. I mean, there was things I was turning down due to still being in school. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that road. I love it. I didn't know there would be anything I loved as much as riding my horses, and speaking honestly is head to head with it. And so I finished my degree and then decided I was going to pursue the speaking. And we'll see. I mean, I use the counseling. I use both my counseling and my teaching degrees every single day, but I'm not serving as a school counselor right now.
Kim, did you hear she turned stuff down and yet here she is with us?
I know. And that is so, it's so great that you're on because we're such big fans. And, you know, I think you're doing the right thing. I think people need your message. And I think you're being a counselor with a broader audience than you probably ever dreamed that you would have. So I think you're doing a great thing by getting out there and sharing your message. And the counseling world, I think we're just very lucky and fortunate to have you. And it makes me proud to say, hey, she's a school counselor.
Well, thank you.
So what, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I know you are so excited in life.
Oh, I am. I'm just excited to be here. You go ahead. Ask away.
Well, I just wonder, Amberly, what would you say has been the greatest lesson that you have learned through this adversity? Because, you know, I always say adversity is such a great teacher. It's not fun to go through. But if you're, you know, Laura and I both say, if we go through something, we want to get every bit of what we can learn out of it. What would you say has been the biggest lesson or eye-opener for you through this?
You know, I feel like this answer probably, if you've listened to all my interviews, if people have listened to my podcast and interviews through the 10 years, I'm sure this answer has changed multiple times.
Sure.
But currently, and I always, when I get asked that, I always get, okay, whatever comes to my heart first is what I want to share.
Yeah.
And today I think, and I could have because I just did I typed out an interview for someone else to answer some questions as well today. And that question came up and honestly, I think one of the biggest things I've learned is just, you never know when it's your last day or your last moment. And I mean, sometimes our world tries to tell us, you know, we should save money and save time and stay home and do these things, you know, because that's what we're supposed to do to be successful. But the memories you make, honestly, are what matter a lot. Mm. You know, if there was one thing that I say I regret prior to my accident, if somebody had come to me and said, hey, at 18 years old on this day, you're going to wreck and you're going to be in a wheelchair, would you do anything different? And I answer yes. I wouldn't change that day and how it has come, but the things I would have done in high school, I mean, I focused so hard on competing what I did and only rode my horses and didn't do a lot of other things. Not that I want to change my rodeo career, but I would have spent a little more time maybe going hiking. You know, maybe I would have gone and played laser tag once or twice more. I mean, I don't know. It's just, you never know when your life is going to make a big shift and opportunities won't be there anymore. So I feel like making those memories is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned. Because that's really what we get to keep. And you think about what you treasure at the end of the day. And not that I don't treasure my saddle sitting in the room, my world, because that is a memory. But there are so many things that you can do on top of that. So I think we should just be more diverse in what we do as people.
Wow. That is so, so good.
Profound. So good. Yeah. Okay, Laura, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. And I'm just thinking about like where we are and some of the things that we've said about our students and just, you never know when your last day with a student is. And, you know, if they're going to be taken into foster care or anything like that. And we've heard it over and over again from educators saying, I wish I'd had one more day with them. So what you just said, I feel like hits the heart of every educator. And so I really appreciate what you just said.
Well, thank you.
So are you still doing Wheelchair Wednesdays?
I've stopped those for a minute. So I did get so busy getting caught up doing lots of stuff, that I had stopped those for a bit, but I want to actually start doing them again. I think I'm going to start them over just completely, actually, you know, rather than even try to do the new ones. But I mean, I've evolved so much from when I very first started those. I think I did them probably 7 years ago is when I began Wheelchair Wednesdays. So I'm going to just do them again. But before I do those, I'm actually trying to do a kind of deeper series, like a Wheelchair Wednesday, but in depth of in the life of like of me, of what I've got to do with my horses and where I've gone to. So I'm actually putting together a video series right now in order to do kind of a little more of an in-depth before I go back to my Simple Wheelchair Wednesdays.
What else do you have going on? It sounds like you've got a lot of stuff going on right now, down the work. So what else is out there? Can we look forward to another movie or book, or what do you have going on, Amberly?
Oh man, movies would be up to someone else. I would do them. I'm glad with what I know now on how I would do it different. But I am writing a book. I'm working on that. I just got approved for a charity. So I have an official 501c3 now. I'll get up and launched here very soon. I don't know what else it means. Hopefully speaking will come back around. It's been kind of tough right now. Mm. And of course I've been rodeoing quite a bit. I have two really good horses right now. So we'll see what comes into play with that. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it's all these big things I've got put together, this video series I want to do. You know, it's bits and pieces of things that I just want to continue to live life to what I want to or can live it to be.
Amberly, I have a child with a disability. He uses a wheelchair. Have you found accessibility as being an issue when you're out and about? And
yes, absolutely. Places are not very accessible. Like I can't even lie about it. That's a challenge to do anything or go anywhere, is trying to figure that out. And people, I mean, I travel by myself as a motivational speaker, and sometimes people think that's crazy because it is harder, but I can do it. And it's one of the only things I can do completely by myself. So I really treasure being able to accomplish those things, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. I mean, accessibility is, I feel like unless you're in it and have to think about it, you don't. And right. So a lot of people get overlooked.
Yeah, yeah.
So Amberly, I know you do a lot of motivational speaking and you go to schools. So if someone wanted to have you at their school, how would they get into contact with you?
So you can find me on amberlysnyder.org. You can also email me amberlys.snyder@hotmail.com, which will come from my website. You can reach out to me on any of my social media, my Instagram, my Facebook, Twitter. I'm not very good at, but I have it. YouTube, any of those places you can reach out to me and line me up to come to your school.
Amberly, I know we had until just a few minutes with you because you got those poppers, but Laura, I know what you're wanting from her, from Amberly.
I am going to, I'm going to solicit a birthday message. Today is my little 4-year-old's birthday, the one that's obsessed with Power and the movie. And so I was going to see if you would mind just saying happy birthday to Ellie Blair.
Well, yeah. Hey Ellie, Amberly Snyder here. I just want to wish you a happy birthday. And I know Power would wish you one as well. He's not here. I'm in the house, but he's outside and he says happy birthday to you.
She's going to lose her marbles. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much, Amberly.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And keep doing what you guys are doing. I feel like honestly, as a counselor, you get to change lives every day. And that's one of the best parts of it.
Thank you so much. It means a lot coming from you, and you just keep up the good work. And we look with bated breath on what comes next from you. So you do great things, and we're very, very proud that you're one of us.
Well, thank you.
So Laura, you know, we have been tacking on stories, which I really, really love a story.
Okay, hold on.
What?
When we started our podcast, we committed to our audience to share a story of the week, a picture of the week, even though it's an audio podcast. And we were going to share a cat picture, which...
Oh, that was funny to me.
It was funny.
5 minutes. That was
what we committed we were going to do it. And I just like how you open this by saying, we've been sharing stories like we did it one time, two times.
But they were meaningful. Okay. They were. So I think today we're going to bypass the story because sometimes counselors ask questions.
Yes.
And it's not so cut and dry. And so we want our listeners and the people who follow us on social media to ask questions that we can pose on our podcast from time to time and kind of talk out and see.
God bless them if they're asking us.
Oh, true. But, you know, we're talking it out and maybe other people might have other thoughts. So here's the scenario, if you will, Laura.
I'm ready. I'm so excited about this.
Well, this comes from a counselor who asked about, and I think that it's very relevant in this age of COVID that we're in because it's very hard to track students because some are traditional. We are traditional with some virtual. Some are hybrid, some are all virtual. So what is our responsibility as counselors when we can't find a child or, you know, as this counselor put it, they're lost in space somewhere?
Ooh.
So I have some students who in that may be on my showing up that they're enrolled here, but we can't find. Well, I'm just saying, what if you can't find those students?
Right.
Eventually,
okay,
what we do is no show up. But what do you? What is our responsibility though in finding these students, or do we have a responsibility?
I have started to answer this question about three times, and then you keep talking.
As you always say, dumb it down, and dumb it down.
Okay. I see the answer to this question about three different ways. This is a very layered question. But we have,
I made it layered.
Yeah. But I am thinking, okay, let's take it from the traditional standpoint. Let's think like if this were a typical year, then I would say if you can't find them, I would get your child protective services involved. I would contact, I know every school doesn't have a school social worker, but if you do, I would contact your school social worker and get them in the know with you. Definitely make sure your administrator is on the same page with you that this is important and we need to track these people down. So what else do you want to add as far as a traditional standpoint?
You know, if you have an SRO officer, send them out.
Yeah, to home visit.
That address is still, you know, if they're still at that address that they gave you last.
Yeah. If we are talking about this year, we have a lot of students who are virtual and maybe they're not showing up for the weekly or daily, however your school system has it. Check-ins, that is a whole different ball of wax, isn't it?
Well, if they're still enrolled in your school, you still have that. I still see it as the same options. If they're not showing up to anything, they're not answering any calls, and this has happened with other counselors, they're not turning in any work.
Yeah.
I think you could still do what you just said, Laura. What do you think?
You could. I'm just thinking, it could be something as simple as they don't have access to the technology and they don't have, I'm just thinking of like in a high poverty situation or a, maybe not a high poverty, but just lack of,
it could be
technology. And so you've really just got to put on your Sherlock Holmes hat and be an investigator and figure out, is this truly a missing child or is this lack of information, lack of communication due to lack of resources?
Yeah. And I still think that you would, if you're concerned, always talk to your child protective services, yeah. I think. And, you know, we always say, Laura, do your due diligence. And when you say, tell your principal and if, you know, tell your, you know, make all the possible checkoffs. And I think you've hit them all. I can't think of another checkoff. I can. Let me back up. You can always call the hotline for missing and exploited children.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to say, at what point would you get the missing and exploited children hotline involved?
I would think if you did not feel, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just playing this scenario out. I'm thinking if you have not gotten the response that you were hoping for, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I think you've done your due diligence if you've told the powers that be that are over you, and you've gone through whatever your procedure that your school system may have, like child protective services, or sending SRO out to the home. And if you feel like those agencies or those folks maybe in for your peace of mind, maybe that may be the extra step, because that's for everybody, and that takes on a whole different layer. But anyway, it's a true story. This is happening, and counselors are asking, and I'm sure there's people that know a lot more than we do and have on that. So we would love to know what that is.
And thank you to the counselor who asked that question. Can I say question?
Now on to show that you're a true school counselor, that you wouldn't say ask, that you would say ask a.
Okay, it's official. We're starting
to ask a question. How could they ask a?
If you want to ask us a question, you can join us on social media. We are on Facebook as Counselor Accents. You can join our Counselor Accents group. You can email us at counseloraccents@gmail.com. Is there anything else? You want me to give your home phone number?
I really wish that you would, because I got nothing going on. Okay, so we would like to hear from you, and we'll be doing some stories again, and no cat pics.
Oh, that hurt my heart a little bit, and I know a couple of other people whose heart that's going to hurt. I'd like to hold out hope that maybe we'll have a cat pic every now and then.
Okay, I'm not going to throw that completely out.
That's a little teaser, a catnip teaser.
If you will.
We're done.
I'm done.